lovelies, welcome back to another episode of the Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This week we're discussing 2016's The Monster, now streaming on Amazon Prime, and 2012's Sinister, now available on Netflix. If you're a new listener, welcome. We are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so consider that before proceeding. Although, with these movies...
Yeah, you might not miss out much. Usually, you might want to listen to this instead of seeing the movies.
Usually we're like, you gotta watch them before you listen to us. I'm not gonna say that this time.
Not really care what you do.
Yeah. It's totally okay if you want us to spoil them for you. I'm okay with spoiling these.
I am too.
But before we jump into all that, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Raw, due for American theatrical release on March 10th. It's a French language film written and directed by Julia Ducournau. I want to say it like a French person.
Like a French person? Yes. Yeah.
She's French.
Ducournau.
En français.
En français.
I took a whole half semester of French, okay? I'm basically fluent.
So own this. Yeah. Own this last name.
It was in seventh grade. I remember it so well. So we've been wanting to talk about this movie for a while. I remember like months ago trying to find a trailer for this movie, and they finally released one. So hooray. Mm-hmm.
We're super excited. They played this at Beyond Fest here in LA, and it sold out pretty fast. So yeah. I missed it, and I was really bummed out about it.
Yeah, it looks so good. I'm really excited to see it in theaters. We watched both trailers. We watched the regular and the Red Band trailer. I definitely think the Red Band trailer is a lot better than the regular trailer.
I think so, too, because it kind of is more explanatory.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I didn't really understand why it was a Red Band trailer, because the only difference that I saw was, like, you could see when they splash the blood, and then she's got that, like, rash situation.
There was some body horror stuff in there that you might not want children looking at. But although the last scene in both trailers is the same, with her, like, pretty much eating a guy's hand. So
I thought she was eating hers. I thought she was eating her hand.
Oh, was she eating her own hand?
I don't know. She was eating a hand,
well,
guys.
Either way, there was blood, and she was chomping on someone's hand. And that seemed like the worst part, but it's in both trailers. So I'm not really sure. Although the Red Band trailer does have quite a bit more blood, and maybe there's like a certain amount of blood they can show. Like, I don't know the details.
Is it weird that the part that grosses me out the most in both trailers is when she's, like, eating the raw chicken?
Yes, it's disgusting.
It's like I'm like, eat yourself, eat someone else, have a rash,
I'm
that's
just like,
cool.
Chick, you're gonna get salmonella. Like, I can't.
I don't fucking want you eating that raw chicken. It makes me uncomfortable.
I haven't eaten chicken for well over a decade, but... Raw chicken is like a whole different thing. Like,
it's so gross. It's so weird looking.
Well, because nobody eats raw chicken. Like, nobody. Like, people eat like beef carpaccio and like a lot of other animals raw, but chicken is not one of those animals that people typically eat raw because of, you know, diseases and things like that.
So,
yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah.
That's the horror for me. Yeah. That's the part. That's the part that's going to get me vomiting in my mouth.
There was a cool part where they're like have the tweezers and they're like picking dead skin off. And for some reason, I find that just so much fun to watch.
It's so gratifying.
It's so gratifying.
It's like when you like have glue on your hand and you like peel it off.
Oh my god, that's the best. I want to go get some Elmer's glue right now so I can do
just
it.
Just smear it. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh. I wish we were watching this movie instead.
Me too. I'd
Who
have so much more to
movies,
say.
Carly? Who picked them? Damn it. All right.
I don't know how it happened, but I think it was because Sinister was new on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then The Monster was new on Amazon. Pretty sure that's how we determined.
I was really...
And I thought you heard, like, there was good things about Monster.
I thought Monster was going to be awesome. Or The Monster, excuse me.
The Monster. Yeah, Monster is the one with Christina Ricci and Charlize Theron.
Also a better movie than this one.
I also would have preferred to watch that.
Yeah. Monster's Ball? Still not my favorite movie, but undeniably a better film than this one.
I was like literally 40 minutes in. I thought I was much further along than I was. And I texted Amy and I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
I was like, you have to. You have to finish it.
I'm over it.
All right. Hold up. Hold up. Let me intro it.
Oh.
You didn't do that yet.
We're getting carried away.
So the movie we're talking about is The Monster, which came out in October of 2016, written and directed by Brian Bertino, whose previous credits were for The Strangers, which is probably his most well-known film.
I liked The Strangers.
I don't think
you did, right? You didn't like that one?
I get that one and the other one confused.
The Strangers, at least the one that I'm thinking of, is the one with Liv Tyler.
Okay. There's the Strangers, and then there's the other one that's like, one has like a bag on their head, like Funny Games. I get Funny Games and The Strangers mixed up all the time. To me, they're the same movie. I know they're not, but to me they are. Like, they're interchangeable in my head. Just like home invasion, like people fucking with you movies. I might have never, it's possible that I've never seen The Strangers. It's not my favorite type of genre. So mm-hmm. unless I hear something awesome about a home invasion movie, I typically don't see it. I don't know if
I really liked it. It's really just creepy.
Yeah.
I really liked the way that it was kind of filmed. It's basically like, I mean, it's kind of slow where like the whole movie is kind of a build up and then all the shit just happens at the end kind of.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I liked it. I know some people didn't, but whatever. I liked it. This movie, however.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm really confused because I heard a lot of good things about The Monster. And I think we might have even done a trailer trash talk on The Monster months ago.
It's very possible. I don't remember.
I mean, maybe we didn't, but maybe I watched it in consideration of it. And I remember thinking the trailer looked good. I remember hearing good things about it. It's just really slow, really slow. And the symbolism is kind of there.
I
feel like it's trying really hard to be a movie that it's not. And, it's a worthy effort. It's just lacking something. I'm trying to like put my finger on it and I can't, but so let's talk it out a little bit. Maybe we can figure it out, I guess. So the basic premise of the movie is that there's a mother who is really young looking, like looks younger than us. She's not younger than us, but she looks younger than us. And she
I really like Zoe Kazan. I don't know how to say her last name.
Kazan.
She was in Ruby Sparks and she was in What If with what's his face? Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. And I really liked that movie.
Okay, but the acting in this movie is not the problem.
No, not at all.
The acting in this...
They were both fine. They were both great.
I thought the acting in this was really good. It's one of the most positive things I wrote was that I thought the acting was really good. And I thought that the characters were fine. I think the character development was there. It's hard for me to put my finger on what this movie is missing. We're going to crack the
story, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the backstory, fine. But why?
Okay,
I don't understand why it wasn't just like a straight drama.
Well, let me just like try to get through the plot because I already failed from last time. So, a mother and a daughter, a very young mother, and about she's about 10, I would say. Her daughter's about 10 years old, are traveling. I think the mother's dropping the daughter off at the father's house, some far away. I guess he doesn't live close by. And they had a messy breakup. They have some flashbacks, but for the majority of the beginning, you can tell that the daughter takes care of herself. The mother is alcoholic and has a lot of issues in being a parent, isn't a good parent, isn't attentive to her child. And she's taking her on this long trip, and they get an accident, and there's a monster in the woods that's terrorizing them, basically. So... The main thing that this film is trying to accomplish, at least I think it is that there's supposed to be some kind of a struggle and the monster is supposed to be symbolic of something. Now, usually in a film when that's happening, you can kind of figure it out. This film, it doesn't really do that. There's no hand-holding at all. So it's either super obvious or super out of nowhere. And I don't know which is worse. Because if the monster is supposed to symbolize the mother's alcoholism, then that's stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Yeah. No, super stupid. Because it... I don't know. I feel like even, like, the monster was kind of like a footnote. If it's to symbolize alcoholism, why did it kill the wolf and the driver and all the ambulance people? And it looked really crappy, right, which really took me out of everything. And
Worse monsters. But it doesn't... It kind of looks like a dinosaur instead of a monster.
It kind of looks like Swamp Thing with really intense teeth.
It had like a Tyrannosaurus head and then like the body of a man.
Or like Godzilla. I don't know. I just wish they would have like pulled a Jaws and not really showed it that much.
There was one part, I will say, that kind of I thought was effective in a scare. Was when the only character I really cared for, Jesse, who was the tow truck driver that came to rescue them. So, you know, they're in the car. They don't really know there's a monster. They hit a wolf or whatever, and the wolf is missing. And then the guy's under the car. He gets attacked by the monster. And the monster drags him under his truck. I thought that was, like, pretty gnarly. And that kind of reminded me of Jaws a little bit, the way he's just getting... Because it's... Usually, if something's dragging something in a movie today, it's fast. It happens really quickly, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Usually, it's a ghost or what have you. This is like a legit monster or animal or whatever, and it's very slow. And you can hear the crunching and the screaming, and it lasts a really long time. And he has his one hand holding the outside of the truck, and that's his last... grasp with life. Like, I thought that was really effective. That was the best part of the whole movie. Go ahead and stop the movie at that point and go on with your merry life, because after that, this film doesn't offer much, at least not for me.
I was like so frustrated the whole time. I was struggling not to just like look at Instagram and like pictures. Like,
I was really expecting a lot more, and I didn't get it. I'm really glad we didn't have Lizzie watch this movie, because this is when we were talking about having Lizzie watch.
Yeah.
And that would have been horrible.
That would have been a bummer. Really. But she wouldn't have been scared.
She wouldn't have. Well, maybe she would have, but she wouldn't have liked, I don't know. Maybe she would have. I don't want to speak for Lizzie, but it, to me, it's just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's not. So,
do you know what really bothered me?
Yeah. What?
And this is just like a like poor editing and bad like continuity. So when the little girl finds the wolf in the woods, like she finds the body.
Yeah.
And she's like looking at it and she's like screaming to her mom that like she found it. This isn't the part that really bothered me, but I was like, why the fuck did the mom just like let her go out into the like wander around anywhere when they like kind of knew that something wasn't right? And then the monster's like behind her, and that's supposed to kind of be like a scary situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if like they just were pouring water on her head to like simulate rain, but like it just looked like she was getting drowned. And then it, like, cuts away to something else, and then it cuts back, and she's completely dry. And I was just like, oh, my God. Why?
Yeah, there were a couple things like
that's
that.
So
and there
glaringly
was a time
obvious.
When the mom was soaking wet at one point when she hadn't even been outside when it was raining yet. I found that confused. There was, like, a couple things with water that were weird.
Yeah.
This plays out as a very low-budget film, but I don't think it was very low-budget. I don't know. I don't know where the money went. I'm guessing most of the money went towards the monster and the CGI for the monster.
Wait, was there CGI?
I mean, there had to have been some. What?
It looks like a dude in an outfit.
I mean, there could have been puppetry involved. I can't find much on this movie. I couldn't even find an interview with the director for this movie. Like, I don't know what the point of this was. I want to like it. I think I still think there's pieces of this movie that are good. I think that the script maybe needed some help, but I don't think the writing was bad. I think I think it could have been a good story, but there was something in the actual filmmaking that didn't do it for me. Because I like the story. It's an interesting story. It's different than, you know, the mom sucks and the kid is an adult and has to be the adult. And okay, so the ending is supposed to, I feel like there's supposed to be a big reveal at the end, and there just wasn't. So
yeah.
the mom basically got really hurt by the monster, and yeah. She decides she's going to save the daughter. So she says, I'm dead anyway. I'm going to die anyway. So I'm just going to try and save you. So she makes a torch, goes out in the... I guess it stopped raining because the torch would have gone out. So she has a torch. She goes out.
Who knows? It was probably not raining.
And a monster comes and attacks her because she puts the torch out. A, why does she put the torch out? I don't know. She's trying to distract the monster so the girl can get away. But the girl doesn't run away. It doesn't work. The monster just eats the mom. And then the girl beats the monster. I don't know what that's trying to tell me. That doesn't show me anything. The mom doesn't read as brave to me because she doesn't even actually save the daughter. So I don't really get it.
There's no purpose.
There's
literally no purpose to anything.
There's dots, but they don't connect. They don't. It's trying to do something. It's trying, and I think it's almost there. It's like if there was a deleted scene and then they end up changing the ending and now it's this whatever it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if...
I feel like they changed the ending. This couldn't have been what they wrote because it doesn't make any sense. You don't put this much effort into your characters and showing flashbacks to their history and to what their backgrounds are like if it's not going to resolve itself in any way. I guess the little girl learns how to take care of herself. Guess what? The little girl had to take care of herself the whole time. She's taking care of herself the whole movie.
I didn't find the flashbacks successful in any shape, way, or form. They were just kind of like, there was no rhyme or reason to them. They were just like, oh, look at how shitty this, like, their home life is.
I agree.
I guess, like, at the end, they, tried to make that parallel with, like, the mom apologizing and, like, the daughter being like, I love you. But, like, it just fell so flat. And while it could have been done well, I wish they would have picked what kind of movie that they wanted to make.
Well, I think the level they tried to play off of was that the mom is always lying to the daughter to make her feel better. So she's not afraid of things. She's always lying.
Yeah, but they did that for, like, that one line in the movie.
No, they did it for, like, a couple. They did it a couple times where the mom wants to leave and the daughter's like, don't. Promise me you'll be okay. She says, I promise. And then something shitty happens. And that happens like 3 or 4 times in a row. It happens in one of the flashbacks. And then.
But that's like normal. Like if you're in a crappy situation with your kid, you like want them to feel better. It doesn't mean. But like, I don't know. I'm just trying to
figure out what level they're trying to play. And I think that's the level they're trying to play because the mom finally admits to the daughter that it's not going to be okay. You know, mom basically gotten eaten alive. There's no way out. And she's telling the daughter it's going to be okay or it's okay. She keeps saying it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's shitty. But basically she doesn't know how to be a mom. She basically kills herself for her daughter. And then her daughter ends up taking care of herself. Which is fine. Like,
which is what happened anyway.
It's just not
even before the mom was dead.
Agreed. So. But the daughter's no longer frightened to take care of herself or something. I mean, it's there. It's just not strong enough. You need more. It needs to be more.
Yeah.
It just does. Yeah. Especially for how slow it is. If there was more of a story, like a strong message and a strong story, I probably would have liked this movie a lot more. Because I think it has good parts. And it's only, what, an hour and 20 minutes long or something?
I think it's literally, like, 80 minutes or something. Like, it's
short. It's short, but it feels very long.
It's 91 minutes. It felt like eternity.
I was trying to figure out why the mom gave the daughter her grandma's watch. They didn't have any flashbacks with the grandma. I was expecting a flashback with a grandma. No grandmas.
There's nothing. It was just dumb.
Agreed. I wanted to like it. Like I said, I think there was some good parts, but I don't think it happened in the way should have.
Guys, I was so bored.
I was too. Oh, all right, we can move off of this one. Cool. We can go right to Sinister.
Cool.
Okay. Hang on, let me just make sure there's nothing else. I don't think there's anything else. Okay. I mean, I was writing things down they were saying, trying to find something. There's nothing there. At least nothing I can see. If you think otherwise, please let us know. Maybe we missed something important.
I would totally love to hear from
this is
someone.
Your favorite film. Maybe you really love this film. Maybe it means a lot to you. Please feel free to write to us. We will read your whatever on an episode.
Tell us why.
Yeah, tell us why. Tell us why you like this. We don't, but that's okay.
Maybe we missed something.
I think that it's possible we might have missed something.
Because
especially
I
for
can tell
fork.
You I was not paying attention the whole time. I will tell you that.
I was, but, you know, things get
obviously
by me. Especially because I only watched it once, so who knows.
Okay. I don't think I could have watched this again. Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. Okay, so now we're going to talk about 2012's Sinister, directed by Scott Derrickson. And written by Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill. Scott Derrickson did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and he looks a lot like Edward Norton.
Ooh, I'm going to have to Google him now, because I didn't know that.
He looks like the poor man's Edward Norton.
Aw, Scott. Yeah.
He does, right? He looks just like Edward Norton. They're like basically twins. Expected to like read that they were brothers or something. Because they kind of look.
Oh, and he did Doctor Strange.
Well, there you go.
I didn't see Doctor Strange, so I can't speak to that movie, but I really want to.
Did you like The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Let me make sure that it's the movie that I'm thinking of. That's with the chick from Dexter, right?
It's the one, I don't know if the girl
yes,
from Dexter.
Yes, Jennifer Carpenter.
It's the girl, yeah.
I liked it.
The one that's like it's like courthouse, most of it's courthouse.
Yeah, and the parts with Jennifer Carpenter were fun. I honestly haven't seen it for like many years.
It's been a while since I've seen it too, but I really like that movie.
Yeah, me too. I remember really liking it.
Okay, well, let's talk about Sinister then, because it's your favorite movie.
It's my favorite movie, number one.
Number one?
Number one.
No, it's not. Don't lie.
It's not.
No.
It's not, but I don't hate it.
People love this movie.
I told Amy that I would rather watch Sinister 24 hours for 24 straight hours than watch The Monster again.
I told her I'd rather commit suicide than do either of those.
Yeah, she did. She asked me if suicide was an option.
I was being dramatic, but still.
So here's the thing about this movie, and I actually like this movie, but there are things that I really don't like about this movie. I don't know if that makes sense.
It doesn't.
But, like, I feel like I start this movie and I'm like, yeah, I'm watching Sinister. And then something happens and, like, I just lose interest and I go somewhere else. I think I watched this movie because I remember Steve kept on coming in being like, what are you watching? And I'm like, Sinister. He's like, again? And I'm like, I keep missing the last part of it. Like, I keep just, like, zoning out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like when it gets into all the weird, creepy ghost children.
Okay.
I feel like that's, like, really bizarre. I think we talked about this in, like, one of our first episodes. But I really like the way that the found footage, like, the footage that he finds is shot, because it's scary as hell.
I agree.
And it's like, I feel like I shouldn't be watching this, and it's kind of like a snuff film.
Agreed.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Agreed.
I don't like the boogeyman situation.
Agreed.
And I don't like, I don't know, like the way that it plays out at the end with the girl and all the little kids. Like, I don't like that part. But, like, I like a lot of things. I don't like that they make the deputy really stupid.
Okay. The deputy is not stupid. The deputy is the smartest man in the entire movie, if you ask me.
I agree, but they make him seem really, like, inadequate at the, like, at the beginning.
I don't think they do. I think they make him seem...
Because he's like, oh, I'm a huge fan, and...
They make him seem less professional, and he is less professional. That doesn't mean that he's stupid. Just means he's, like...
I really like his character. I'm not bashing his character.
No, like, I like his character. I think he's probably my favorite character.
Yeah.
I don't think I like anyone else in this movie. Nope, I don't like anyone else in this movie. Only that character. So, I agree with basically everything you said. I like the main idea of this film, which came to C. Robert Cargill in a dream after he saw The Ring. He had a dream that he went up into his attic, found some Super 8 films, and he put one of them on, and one of them was of a family hanging themselves. So he decided to write up a story about it and pitched it to Scott Derrickson, and they ended up making this film together. So I do like that idea. I like that dream. I think that's a really cool, like, different dream. Although it is kind of funny because I read about that story after I saw this again, and I was like, this movie really reminds me of The Ring a lot. And then and then I read that, and I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. That seems like a dream I would have after I watched The Ring.
Yeah.
I think that the found footage aspect, where you're meeting the person who finds the footage and how they're dealing with it and how it affects them, I think that's kind of interesting spin on a normal horror movie that you'd see anytime.
I like that, that, like, it makes sense. Like, he goes to call the police when he finds them. And it makes sense to me why he decides not to, because he's craving that success that he used to have. Yeah.
Does this make sense? Never, ever, ever turning on a light. This
he doesn't want to wake his family.
Carly, he never fucking turns on a light. Ever. No, in this entire movie. He's in a dark room the entire time looking at pictures of demons. Nobody does that. I'll tell you, nobody does that. Nobody is that brave. I'm sorry.
He's also on, like, whiskey. He's drinking whiskey the entire time. He's on whiskey. I was going to say something else.
He's on that whiskey.
I don't remember what I was going to say, and that's why I didn't say it.
Okay.
But he...
okay.
I mean, if you're... it makes sense if you're watching... If you're watching a movie like that, with the screen situation and the projector.
Sure. It makes sense when you're watching the movie. It makes sense zero other times during the movie. And he is always in the dark. Always. Always in the dark. Always. The sun went down, he's in the dark.
How is Scott Derrickson supposed to scare you if it's not in the dark?
I don't know. Get someone that's scarier to be your demon. That's the least scary looking demon. I've seen demons on Buffy that are scarier than that.
Because Buffy's awesome.
Fruit punch mouth from Buffy is scarier than that.
I know, and that's one of the problems that I have. I wish that I just, like, the whole second half of the movie just feels so rushed to me and so, like, they just wanted to finish it. And, like, I wish the demon was done differently. Like, I would have been totally cool with, like, this, the runes and the weird whatever with that guy that he Skypes. But, like, I just wish that the children weren't involved, or that not even that they weren't involved, but not that they were, like, ghost children. I don't know.
I hate the end of this movie.
Nothing
upsets me more than the explanation of when the demon starts to do this. You have to move to another house, and then he attacks. What the fuck? Why? What does that even mean? What does that add to your story, other than people move away when things are scary? Why would that be the case? Why would a demon have so many prerequisites? If he wants to eat your children, why can't he just eat your children? I don't understand. I don't understand what moving has to do with it, other than to maybe introduce it to a new family, but it could always take place in the same house, and the next family would deal with it. I don't know why you need to move. It doesn't make any sense. It upsets me every time I watch this movie. Nothing turns this movie off to me more than that explanation of when the demon shows up.
Yeah.
You made this worse by moving to another house. You pretty much sped up the whole process. I'm
like, yeah. You asked for this to happen.
I would rather speed up the process, get this shit over with, instead of it haunting me for the rest of my life. And B, that doesn't make any fucking sense. So there we go.
I mean, it also makes me wonder, because some of these other families have been in these houses for a really long time.
Yeah.
So, like, it makes, like, obviously Ethan Hawke's character was looking for this information, right?
Right.
So with these other families that don't know or care about what happened to the family that lived there before them, like, are they looking for this weird box? Do they find it 20 years after they've, like, been living there for probably X amount of time?
Yeah, that is one thing that does make sense, is that some of them are going to be spaced out further than others.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like that part. I liked how it takes place over, like, the span of a long time. And mm-hmm. I like some of the explanation that's given by the doctor or the professor. Because that stuff was interesting. It was kind of different. There was merit to that. It was creative. But then they ruined it by saying you have to move to another house. It doesn't make any sense. Also, some of the short films are very creative, very scary.
Yeah. Oh my God, the lawnmower one scares the shit out of me every time I watch this movie.
The lawnmower one, yeah, because it sneaks up on you. All of a sudden, it's like you're looking at a lawnmower, and then all of a sudden, there's a head underneath it.
Like, all the other ones are fairly slow. Like, yeah, things are happening. But, like, the lawnmower one is just, like, in your face.
The lawnmower thing is stolen, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That's a Sleepaway Camp 3
yes
thing, by the way.
Yes.
Which, I like Sleepaway Camp 3 more than this movie.
I love Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp 3 is not a good movie, but I like it more than this movie. Sweet Pea. Do you remember Sleepaway Camp 3? Are we not talking about it? I absolutely
do. No, I absolutely do.
It's basically a softcore porn with a lawnmower and, like, the most disgusting old man and the youngest woman ever.
I think I, like, just saw that movie, I feel like.
It's been a while since I've watched it. I probably haven't watched it since college, but I remember it really well.
I'm trying to think if it was that one or Sleepaway 2.
Well, Sleepaway 2 has Angela and they're actually at a camp. 3 is like they're in the woods camping. Like, they're not at a cabin. Saw 2.
It's where she's the counselor, right?
Yes. No. Yeah. 3. 3 is the one where she lawnmowers over someone's head. I'm pretty sure that's 3.
And then they use that on Scream Queens, too.
Do they?
Scream
See, I like it when people borrow things from Sleepaway Camp. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Anyway, to get back to what I was saying before I brought in Sleepaway Camp, like, some of the short films are really scary and mm-hmm. original, and some of them are just, like, last-minute throw-ins. Like, it feels like there was no thought put into it. The Sleepy Time one, they're just taped up and someone's slitting their throat. Like, okay, it's still scary, but the other ones have, like, this crazy supernatural element to them that, like, the swimming pool one is super creepy. The tree one is by far the creepiest one, I think. The lawnmower mm-hmm. one is creepy. And then there's just the taped one. They're just taped up and they slit their throats.
I thought that was, that lacked imagination.
And it seems like the one that happens to Ethan Hawke and his family, that one also not that interesting. Same thing.
Yeah, they get axed to the head.
Yeah.
I wish that one was a little bit more
Although I did involved. Like the name of that one, which was Painting the House or something like that.
Yeah.
They have clever names. I'll give them that. But they could have done something more interesting. Like, if you're going to make them that way, you got to keep them that way. There's not that many more. You could have come up with a couple more interesting things with funny names.
I also where did she get this, like, secret of the ooze, like, liquid to knock her dad out? And how does he not notice this bright glowing green liquid in his coffee or tea or whatever before?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this movie, like, the characters
are bad, too. Like, they're bad. They're bad. Ethan Hawke is not believable. I like Ethan Hawke as an actor. His character in this movie is not believable. The mother is annoying and terrible and not supportive, and that upsets me. The children are obnoxious.
don't know. I feel like I would be pretty pissed if my husband moved us into a murder house without telling
me. Sure, but she didn't know he did that for, like, the first half of the movie, maybe more. And she was still being like, can you just get over your dream already? Can you just stop dreaming and give up on the stupid dream and make money for us? How about you get a job? He's crying. He did something important. What did you do? Sit at home, eating bonbons? Get a job, woman.
She goes grocery shopping for like half the movie, I feel like. She just disappears and comes back with groceries every time.
I have to go grocery shopping. I'm very important.
We need more bread.
Go get a job. Stop writing books that are bad. Also, how are you a true crime novelist and your wife has no appreciation for true crime? I feel like that's like, how are you married? Like, that's a very passionate thing. It's like a job. It's weird to not appreciate that as a significant other. I kind of feel like she doesn't appreciate him at all. And it seems very uncalled for a lot of the film.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of get it. I kind of get her character because I understand that it's very apparent that he keeps trying to, like, recreate this success that he had with his first book. And so nothing that he really does is super organic. And he's just kind of like, you know, he was watching his, that interview of himself, like being like, I don't do this for the fame. Like, I'd rather cut my hands off than, you know, whatever he says. So, like, I can understand that if they've been doing this for a couple years and maybe they're running out of money and now, like, it's kind of like, get a fucking job. Like, I kind of get where she's, I don't know. I get it. I get how she probably feels.
I mean, I do, but I don't at the same time. Because there's a way to be supportive that's not give up on your dream. Like, okay, you tried doing it this way. Let's try a different way. Or, you know, you need to get out of your own head. Or she wasn't offering options. She was just like, give up on your dream and write textbooks, which is...
That's true. I forgot about that.
It's pretty shitty thing to say to someone you supposedly love. Like, stop dreaming, give up on your hope, take care of your family.
I get it.
I don't like her. I don't like the kids. I don't like him. He's lying. She's
shitty.
Yeah,
the kids are the worst.
Like, they're all kind of shitty. The deputy's the only one that's fucking smart and has any intelligence and any real personality to
grasp. He's adorable.
They don't give anyone actual personality. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Like, the daughter she paints or whatever, but that comes back at the end and there's no real anything there. It'd just be nice if there was more. Give them some other interests. Show them playing or enjoying them. It just felt like you're showing them for one purpose only and there's nothing in between.
It felt like nobody liked each other, really.
Yeah, a little goes a long way with that for me. Mm-hmm. You just need a little bit. A scene, maybe two, of the family doing something somewhat enjoyable.
Yeah.
And because in those films that they show, the families are doing something fun together and then something terrible happens to them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in their film. They don't have a happy film.
Because it seriously doesn't seem like any of them like each other.
No. And I don't like them.
I never saw Sinister 2. We were talking about that.
Yeah, I never saw Sinister 2 either. I honestly forgot there was one. It came out like a year ago, right? 2015?
Yep, August 21st, 2015. I don't even know what it's about.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with a different family. A mom and two sons,
same
I think.
Stupid demon.
Yes, same stupid demon.
Oh, but Shannon Sossaman's in it. I like her.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but sure.
She was in... Of course, I immediately think of The Holiday. She was Jack Black's shitty girlfriend who cheats on him. But she was in that movie with Josh Hartnett where, like, he gives up sex for 40 days.
40 days and 40 nights?
Yes. She was the love interest in that
movie. I don't remember that movie. I saw it maybe when I was a teenager. I don't really remember.
Oh, and she was in that movie with Heath Ledger where it was, like, in medieval times, but... It was, like, all the music and stuff was current.
Oh, yeah.
A Knight's Tale?
A Knight's Tale, yeah.
Yeah. And Rules of Attraction. She was in Rules of Attraction with Dawson, James Vanderbeek.
That was the IMDb Minute with Carly.
No, I'm not even looking at IMDb. No, I swear to God.
No, I'm very impressed with you.
That just kept on, like, popping into my brain.
I'm
like,
so impressed things. With you. You're the most That's impressive why. Person I've ever met.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, are we talking about Bagul or whatever the fuck his name is? Is his name Bagul? Is that the name of the demon?
Boogie? Probably. Yeah.
Which is a stupid name for a demon. It just is.
It felt so lackluster.
It's not. Yes, his name is Bagul. It was a popular movie. They made a sequel. It had to have made some money and.
Yeah, actually, it made a lot of money. So the budget was $3 million. Box office, $77.7 million.
Well, I saw this in the theater because I thought, hey, that looks like a good movie.
I saw it in theaters, too.
And it wasn't. No one was more upset with me than my husband after seeing that movie. I remember it started because it starts with that, like, home movie with the tree. And he looked like he was ready to just get up and walk out of the theater right then and there. He's like, and I'm done.
And that's it. No, thank you.
It's like, I'll go wait in the lobby for another hour and a half. I'll see you then. It did look good. I think the poster's really great. It's got a great poster.
And the music freaks me out. I woke up, like, asleep to it. And I fell asleep to, like, the middle of the movie, which is why I had to, like, watch it three times. And I woke up and the music was playing and I was like, I can't handle this.
I don't think I would want to fall asleep to this movie, Carly.
I have to turn it off immediately.
Yeah. The
music sucks. I mean, it's scary. The music is terrifying.
Yeah, the music's great. I think he did a great job with the music, picking the music.
I think he did too.
It's super effective. It's really creepy. I mean, the films are creepy all on their own. Like, without music, they would be super creepy, but the music really just adds to it, which sometimes it takes away from it. I think if it's
this music was just so weird, and
it's
like,
weird and it's different, and it is very creepy.
Super
It is effective. I did write that down. You're totally right. I agree. The snuff films are fucking scary.
They're great.
I don't like watching them. They're not I watch them and I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Makes me uncomfortable. But, I mean, that's not enough to carry the plot of a movie and then having, like, some stupid CGI demon on top of it. And it's not scary. The kids aren't scary. The scary ghost kids, they're not scary. The children in this movie, I don't find frightening.
No, I don't either.
So it's weird. It's like there's this really there's this really hard to watch part of the film and then this other, like, laughable part of it. So it's hard to marry the two.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's really good elements to this movie. And,
there are.
Like, I really like watching the first half of it. And then, like, once the little kids are, like, running around as he's walking through the house, I'm done.
I don't like watching the first half of it. I can't go that far.
I do.
There are elements that I think are really successful here. But the first half of the movie for me is not a home run. There's definitely some shit. But
and then we get a nice little Vincent D'Onofrio cameo as the professor.
Oh yeah. He's great.
He is great.
All right. Are we done with this movie?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Okay. Let's move on. So what's going on with us? How's Gilmore Girls treating you?
It's good. I've been going slow. I got sick last week again after the woman's walk. So I kind of just did a lot of sleeping and working. I watched some Gilmore Girls. What am I on? So I just watched the one where Logan takes Rory home. They're like boyfriend and girlfriend now. It's official.
Got it. Oh.
And
but I'm a Gilmore.
Yeah. And they are unimpressed and they don't want her to marry into the family.
No.
And also Luke is cooking for Suki, and Suki, like, is stealing all the food because she wants to taste it before it goes out.
Oh, yeah. That's a good episode.
It was a good episode. I really liked the one before it where the old man dude dies and Luke is working with Taylor because he wants the house.
Oh, the Twickham house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that episode, and Dean's like, you and I are the same, because, like, Luke doesn't like Dean, but, like, he's a townie. Luke's a townie.
It's true. Hey, Carly, go ahead and say goodbye to Dean now, because that's his last episode.
Bye, Dean. I'll watch you on Supernatural when your name is
right. He's in, like, the new ones that came out. He's in one of the new ones. for like a second, but
cool.
That's about it.
I'm liking Logan right now. Logan's fine.
Fuck, dude. Fuck Logan. He's the fucking worst.
No, he totally is, and I know it. And I'm like, but like Rory needs it.
Yeah. Rory has every boyfriend she needs at the moment she needs them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them good boyfriends.
No. Most of her boyfriends are not good.
No, none of her boyfriends are good. They're all bad.
Again, I was fine. I think Dean was a good first boyfriend.
He was good for like the first season.
He was a good first boyfriend, but like also kind of set unrealistic expectations for the rest of her dating life.
Agreed. So that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying Gilmore Girls.
How's Buffy?
Oh my gosh.
Watched my favorite episode.
So I'm kind of obsessed with Buffy right now. Like I can't watch anything else. Watching these movies last weekend was difficult because I didn't want to stop watching Buffy to watch these movies, especially Sinister because I knew I didn't like it. Tony has successfully watched a couple episodes with me, so he's getting a little bit more interested. You know, he's like, oh, you know, how's Buffy's roommate situation? You know, like he kind of follows it a little bit.
Do you love Anya? I love Anya.
I do really
you will
like
love Anya.
No, I do love Anya.
Okay, good.
I do love Anya.
I love how she's so honest.
I love this show because it's so ahead of its time. Like, it's got such strong, like, girl power, and then there's also, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it feels very, like, modern, even though it's 90s and, like, early 2000s. It's, like, I like how they kind of push it a little bit, and Buffy's a really strong character. And it's so funny too. Like, I don't think I even was catching the jokes the first season or two, or maybe it wasn't as funny, but it's so funny now. Like, there's so much like little funny things that they don't really call attention to, but you know, if you're watching and you're paying attention, you can like catch it.
That's why I've definitely watched the series probably a good 3, maybe 4 times.
Yeah.
Because, and like, there's always new things that you catch, and it's always funny. And I think that you're right, like, especially if you're watching it the first time around, like, if you were to watch it again, like, I bet you'd like the first season that much more.
Probably. I really like the characters now. I really like Xander this season. I didn't love him until like the third season, but there's this one episode in the third season and I don't remember the name of it, but it's like Xander's episode and it's my favorite episode. It's my most favorite episode. Like, I really liked Hush, which is your favorite episode. I really liked it. But there's this episode in season 3 that's all about Xander, and like all this horrible stuff is happening with Buffy, and it's like background noise, and everything that's happening to Xander's in the forefront. And I love that episode so much. It is so weird and different and like creepy and stupid, and like you're worried about Xander, but there's no one that can help him because they're dealing with the end of the world. And like, I just love how like there's an apocalypse happening, but it's following him instead of them. It's just,
yeah,
I like how they're starting to like have more like super creative episodes. They're like just twisting them on their head. And Hush was a really great example of that because they, you know, there's no sound basically for most of it. Those gentlemen, the gentlemen are creepy.
Oh, they're so creepy. Those like faces.
Yeah, those smiles.
Yeah.
And the hearts, the stealing of the hearts. And it feels kind of like a musical, or like I'm watching Fantasia or something, because there's like classical music and like, and like, no one's
gonna kill it. And Buffy's like,
yeah.
And they're like, whoa, what? And then she like grabs the stake.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
Yeah, stabbing without anything in your hand doesn't look like stabbing.
Looks like something else.
I did really like that part. There's some like random adult humor in these episodes too, which is kind of fun.
Oh, it's, I love Buffy so much. Oh,
but only the guys looked at her like she was like, what?
She's like, no. Not what you think.
Oh, so good. I also liked how they were walking down the street and they're looking at all like the troubling things happening in the town, and they see a man selling whiteboards so you can write messages to each other, and they give him a dirty look like, oh, you're trying to make money off of this. And then the next scene you see them with the signs like they bought them.
Yeah. They need them.
This might make no sense to anyone listening to our episode right now, but
yeah, go watch Hush. It's in season four.
Season
of Buffy,
four.
If you haven't
Buffy.
Seen it,
season four, episode 10. It's very good.
It's so good.
I like the show a lot, Carly. I'm really glad I'm watching it.
Me too.
I'm glad
that you are watching it, and I'm even more glad that you're enjoying it.
I'm really enjoying it. Too much, probably.
Nah, no such thing.
Okay, what else is going on? So I've been listening to a couple new podcasts I'd like to give shout-outs to.
Yes, please. The
Cutaways is a podcast that's two young women in Los Angeles who are about our age, I believe, and they do romantic comedies. So
nice.
They just go through and they watch, they like talk a little bit, they go watch the movie, and they come back and talk more about it. And they're about hour-long episodes. They're really cute and fun, and they have a good time, and they're fun to listen to when you want just something light and easy to listen to. Those girls are awesome. You should check them out. Also, someone we went to college with, Jenny Owen Young, who is a musician, a really amazing musician, if you're not aware of her. She's awesome, and she has a podcast, which I had no idea, and her podcast is about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, it's called Buffering the Vampire Slayer. It does not need shout-outs. I'm sure it has way more listeners than we do. but I've been listening to that as I'm watching, and I'm really enjoying it. We both went to college with Jenny, but I had, like, classes and stuff with her, and she's always just such a sweetheart. And she's so talented, and her and her wife do the podcast together, and they're cute and awesome. And I recommend that as well, if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They talk about it way better than I ever could, so go ahead and enjoy that if you like Buffy. I think they're only on season two, so it's going to take them a while, though, to run through that.
Yeah. Catch up.
Yep. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No. Okay. No. Not a thing.
Next week, we're going to do an M. Night Shyamalan episode. We're going to watch The Visit, which is now streaming on HBO Go. Carly and I both have not seen this movie. And
I'm excited to watch
this. I'm excited to watch it, too. It's weird. I had to, like, hear about two of his movies doing well in a row before I'm willing to go back to M. Night Shyamalan, because after I was burned by him, I, like, gave up on him, like, a decade ago. I gave up on him, like, a decade ago, but I'm willing to come back. I heard good things about The Visit, and I'm hearing amazing things about Split. So yeah. We're going to do The Visit. It's streaming on HBO Go. Hopefully you guys have access to that. We don't usually use HBO Go as a streaming service for our episodes, but we're going to make an exception because we really want to do Split also. So we're going to go to the theater and see Split. We'll have a non-spoiler review. And then after the music at the end, we'll do spoilers like we do when we do new movies.
I'm excited to see what you think about Split. I haven't seen it yet either, but I remember when we did our trailer trash talk on it, I was super stoked on it, and you were not super stoked on it.
It's not that I wasn't super stoked on it. I think it looks good. I think it can get iffy with me when there's people acting with multiple personalities. I can find it comical when it's not supposed to be. So.
Gotcha.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen because that can really take you out of a movie. But
for
that's
sure.
And also I can't commit to thinking an M. Night Shyamalan movie looks good because it hurts too much. It's like an abusive it's like an abusive relationship. You know, because I loved The Sixth Sense and I love Signs. I still love Signs. I still think Signs is a fucking amazing movie. I love Unbreakable. I love all three of those movies. But literally every other movie after that is a flaming pile of trash. So I remember when The Visit came out, people said it was pretty good and liked it. And I was like, I'm going to wait.
I remember wanting to see it because I remember being creeped out by the grandma who wanted the little kid to go in the oven.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing I know about this movie.
It's supposed to be funny and also scary. I don't think it's like straight horror. I think there's like comedic things, but it's also found footage, which is different. I would never think of M. Night Shyamalan doing a found footage movie. So we'll see. We'll see what it's like. I think it'll be good.
I'm stoked.
I'm down to watch it. Okay. So there's your homework for this next week, The Visit, now streaming on HBO Go, and Split, if you want to go ahead and watch that with us. It's now in theaters. Also, we still have a lot of stickers to give away. So if you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com with your name and address, and we'll send you some stickers. That's it. They're free.
That is it.
Yay! Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our music. Sequencing the Drone is our song. And Justin Link for our amazing logo. You can go to finalgirlshorrorcast.com for their information, or also to stream some of our episodes.
Also, and last, Final Girls Horrorcast is a part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We're available to stream on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We're also active on social media, so please interact with us. We are on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Thank you, Carly.
Hey, anytime. That's what I'm here for.
All right. Such a mellow episode from us tonight, you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Until then, bye.
Bye.